The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you come from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, and from the north and the south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning and blessed Sunday to everybody.
Good morning, Father.
Before we dive into these powerful readings today,
just two brief announcements. One good, one bad. Good news or bad news? First. What's the tradition? Good news first, right? No, bad news first. Yeah, bad news first. So, bad news. Since 2005, we've been blessed here in Vacaville to have the ministry of a religious community, Pro Ecclesia Santa. And we're blessed that priests have come through here and served you well. And of course, most notably, we've had the sisters here serving, especially in our faith formation program. Well, sadly, they've discerned that they're, as an order, they're pulling out of Vacaville and consolidating in Sacramento to be closer to the priests there and their work there. So sadly, the sisters are winding down their time with us here in Vacaville. And they're here in the middle. Sisters, you gotta raise your hand so we could all embarrass you. Sisters right there, so some of the sisters are there. But to send you off well, because here at St. Mary's, we love to eat, of course. And so next Sunday, after this Mass, we're having a little barbecue on the house. And the brother knight will be having hot dogs and hamburgers, you know, the high-sodium diet that we all cherish so well. An opportunity for the sisters to say goodbye. If you want to say goodbye and thank them or just wish them well, they'll be there after the 10 a.m. Mass next Sunday, as we now sadly say goodbye to the work of the Pro Ecclesia Santa sisters. So that's the bad news, now good news. Well, tonight is our kickoff for our youth group, so junior high and high school age kids. We're launching our youth group this evening after the 5 p.m. Mass, around 6:30 or so. So please, junior high, high school age kids, we're gonna have some fun tonight and to grow in our faith. So, good news, bad news. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The question of all questions is posed to our Lord today. So when I asked Jesus, how many will be saved? That's a fantastic question. How many will make it to heaven? Is there any greater question than that, or to ponder and to wonder? And frustratingly so, Jesus doesn't give us a number. What does he say?
strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. So instead of giving us a number, because you know, as we all know, we're all nosy. How many will be saved, Jesus? Am I one of them? Hopefully. He asked that question, how many will be saved? And Jesus says, this path to heaven is very narrow. Narrow. The narrow path, the narrow gate, this path to heaven. Our Lord says it is hard to enter in, so how can we delve deeper? Because he uses that specific word very poignantly, narrow, narrow, narrow. One of the greatest converts to Christianity of the 20th century begins to help us understand why our Lord speaks of this narrow gate. There's a man by the name of C.S. Lewis. He's much beloved. He was one of the most famous authors of the 20th century. He converted from atheism to Christianity. He was this close to Catholicism, by the way, so close to Catholicism. In a sermon that he was giving in Oxford on June 8th, 1941, he gave a very famous sermon in a church named after St. Mary's as well. And he says this. It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink, lust, and ambition. When infinite joy is offered us, we are far too easily pleased. Isn't that so true? See, what C.S. Lewis was speaking about here is that we get distracted all the time by the goods of the world. The wide, as our C.S. Lewis says, we get distracted by all the many different wide paths of, he called it drink, but we can put in, again, pleasure, then lust, and then ambition, just attempting to strive in these worldly pursuits that we all have. And C.S. Lewis was saying that we're all prone to this, by the way. Again, none of us are clean here. We all get distracted by all the many glittering lights. We're like, in a sense, we're like dogs going after squirrels. Squirrel. And C.S. Lewis was saying, contrast that with all of the many distractions that are glittering around us. When C.S. Lewis rightly points out, eternal life is offered to us. Salvation, heaven, where infinite joy awaits. And he rightly points out, we get so distracted by other things. And the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, our Lord continues. When he says that finally at the end, many will try not enter, and he will say those words to us who have become distracted. I do not know you. So what is this narrow gate in order to keep us focused, to not get distracted by drink, by lust, and by worldly ambitions? To focus our attention. When they asked Jesus in Matthew 22, what is the greatest commandment? Remember what our Lord said? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and strength. Boom, there it is. He made it narrow. Love the Lord your God first. So again, our Lord is continuing his great analogy that in order to walk this narrow path, what keeps us focused from all the glittering distractions of the world, which beckon our fallen appetites, and our passions, is that it is love that sets the narrow path. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So he's saying, okay, love God first. Then in Matthew 6,
Our Lord will powerfully say again, and he will narrow the path. Seek first the kingdom of God, then everything else will be provided for us. Seek first the kingdom. Love the kingdom. And slowly, as this path narrows, we begin to see what our Lord wants us to do, to walk on this narrow path, but rather it's a path of love that keeps us focused no matter how many times we get distracted by all the allurements of this passing, fading world. But again, as fellow sinners, how do we remember this love that makes the path narrow? This is where the gift of suffering comes in, I dare say. Suffering focuses our attention on the narrow path of love. A few days ago, one of my old parish families, my old parish, reached out. Close to this family, young, beautiful Catholic family, 5 kids. The husband is a convert to Catholicism, and the godfather to 3 other kids. Their 5th child, Kiernan, beautiful boy, 15 months old, just diagnosed with leukemia. Little baby, chubby little baby. But praise God, if there's one leukemia you want, this is the one he has, so praise God. This doctor said there's about a 90% survival rate, so praise the Lord. But the path to healing is going to be a hard one for baby Kiernan. And as I was talking to the dad, he was just saying what was so hard about it. Because that's babies at 15 months old, they don't know anything. And he has all these tubes and IVs hanging out, the doctor has to come in, they have to prod him and get samples. He has to have blood transfusions every couple days just because with that type of leukemia, he's not making enough healthy red blood cells, so he has to get the transfusions. And especially when they have to hold him down, he says, and he's crying and screaming out in pain, and he said, he looks at his dad, because you know, as kids, we turn to our dads to stop the pain. And he said that breaks his heart, because his kid is looking at him, and he's just like, oh, I can't do anything to help you. And he's just sharing me the stories. And he's a beautiful witness, though. He says, whatever happens, I trust the Lord. Even though I ask why every single night in my prayer, if he doesn't tell me, I don't know. I'm trying to be fine with that. But here's where it gets it. Why, again, love solidifies the narrow path. He said, Father, from this moment on, our lives have changed. Why? Because now everything, their whole life now, revolves around baby Kiernan. Their entire lives are focused on him. Everything is now built around him, he said. All the other distractions, the worries, the bills, and this and that. Who cares? Because it's all about baby Kiernan, isn't it? And it's all focused on love. And so I want to ask this as I end. Again, we're all distracted by many things. I want to pose a very heavy question. Can you imagine life without your loved ones? Your family, your spouse, your husband, and your wife, your children, whoever it is. Can you imagine life without them? No. If that's the case, then love
them with an intensity. Who cares about everything else? Oh, winning arguments, doing this, fighting. My gosh, life is so short to waste our time outside of love. My gosh, who cares about careers and ambitions? I mean, those are all great things. Don't get me wrong. Please pursue the highest intensity of your careers. Yes, do it well. But if it's the sacrifice of love, what's the point? Do you see how the intensity, how suffering just focuses the eyes and the heart? And if I love, that's what matters. And then once we do that, love of God and the love of neighbor, I'll begin to unlock the truest joys of life. Pray for baby Kiernan. I asked the dad if I can share this story with us, and he said, yeah. He says, we'll take as many prayers as we can get. Love, my friends, is a narrow path. For as the Lord himself says, we can gain the whole world, but if we lose our salvation in the process, what good is it to us? Love is what makes this path narrow and focused.